The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples left from there and began their journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man will be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once outside, inside the house, he began to ask them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me, receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
I see quite a few faces here today that I don't normally see. Maybe it's because you've come back after many months, so welcome back. Or maybe probably because of the football game today. And so if you are a visitor here to St. Joseph, a heartfelt welcome to you. My name is Father Irwin. I'm the pastor here. When brothers and sisters are growing up, sometimes they get into arguments. Although that never happened with me and my brothers, ever. My parents are here today. This is not good. Anything I say that I may be embellish a little bit. It's okay. Of course, this is not true. My brothers and I would argue, and for some reason, I was always right. What is a common argument between brothers and sisters? One is, "Mom and Dad love me the most." Right? I am the favorite child. Why would we think then that the disciples with Jesus, contemplating the will of the Heavenly Father, would not also argue about who is the greatest? Of course they would argue about this. They're human, they have ambition, they are with the Messiah. God loves me most, so I am the greatest, and I will be first in the kingdom of God. This very human of them. Remember last week Jesus said to them, "You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." So let's look at the Book of Wisdom. In the Book of Wisdom, we're listening to the mind of the wicked man. The wicked man says. So what is the constant purpose or goal of the wicked man? To test us and try to trick us into relying on ourselves and not God. The Bible invites us to think like the wicked man. See if I can convince them to not say, "God will take care of me," and instead say, "I can take care of myself." Then we direct him down the path of death instead of the path of life with God. You see, the devil has a simple and very effective plan. Tell every person that you don't really need God. Then the Apostle Paul, in the second reading, explains this through a lesson on the struggles we have with our passions. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote about this often. In his writings, he teaches on the difference between our intellect and our will. What we know through our ability to think and reason, this is our intellect. And what we do through our desires and passion, this is our will. In a human person, these two things struggle often to be together, to be on the same page. Because of sin and corruption, our intellect can tell us one thing, and our will can guide us to something else. For example, a person looks at a large pizza. Follow me here. That person thinks, I will just have one piece of pizza. That will not be bad for me. The intellect is telling the person, don't eat too much pizza because it's not healthy. This is an intellectual conclusion. But the person is also saying, I love pizza. I want to eat more than one piece of pizza. Pizza is good, and eating the whole pizza will make me feel sick, but I don't care. You see how intellect and will combine. They clash with each other. Okay. So St. Paul is warning his people about the problems of just listening to our passions only. We have to include the intellect and virtue and what is truly good for the body, spirit, and soul. We have to be willing to choose God. We need to be willing to choose what is objectively good. Not jealousy, selfish ambition, or hatred. Not war, conflict, or anger. Paul says, choose the wisdom that is from God. Peace, truth, mercy, and goodness. Turning to the Lord who loves us and who is calling us to something more. The disciples of Jesus were listening to their selfish ambition and being led by their passions, not their intellect, and possibly not just their love for God. They certainly loved the Lord, but in this instance, they were thinking of themselves. Jesus then does something beautiful. He uses the example of a little child to teach his disciples. Young children are always ready to receive everything they see, hear, touch, and experience. Their minds are absorbing information at a rapid rate. This is the will of God for us. Be willing to absorb the truth of the gospel. Be willing to receive the power of mercy and love. Be willing to take time to know Jesus. Put yourselves in a place in your mind and heart as often as you can where you can fully receive Jesus. Receive and absorb the Lord in prayer as often as you can. Receive and absorb the Lord in the sacraments of the church, especially confession and the Eucharist. Receive and absorb the Lord in the sacred scriptures, prayers, and the worship of the Holy Mass, and our service and love of others in the community. In heaven, there is no greatest, at least among the communion of saints. There's the Blessed Mother. She's the greatest, right? Next to our Lord. Please don't try to be greater than Mary. We want Mary to call us to herself and ultimately to Jesus. No, in heaven, we're not called to be the greatest. We're called to be holy. We're called to be faithful. We're called to unite our lives to the Lord. We cannot win heaven by being the best disciple of Jesus. And this is the final and beautifully simple lesson of Jesus from this gospel. If you wish to be first, be last, and the servant of all. Embrace everything that is God. Absorb the truth and love of the gospel of Jesus. Know that Jesus is always with you. I'll leave you with this beautiful thought from St. John Paul II, who had such a, I think, beautiful understanding of this gospel. He said, "There's no evil to be faced that Christ does not face with us. There is no enemy that Christ has not already conquered. There is no cross to bear that Christ has not already borne for us and does not now bear with us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.